Now, you might recall on the show recently, Cormac Battle was sharing some shocking statistics with me, one of which said that 61% of young adults don't know how to cook an omelette. 61%. Now, at the back of this mind-blowing information, we had to call one of our old pals, who is an expert in the game. He agreed to come in and give us all some tips on how to cook super-duper basic meals. Chef Adrian Martin, thank you so much for coming to the rescue today. I would. This is what we're selling you on today. Also, you've got a very advanced child who can drive now, and they're only a couple of months old. So I'm talking about Chef Adrian's Instagram account, which I'm absolutely obsessed with. You and your son, and he's like sitting in the front of the car. So this must be just like, oh, I can't believe nobody's teaching them how to make carbonara. What's happening? Did you find this a bit shocking or not at all?
I kind of like a little bit shocked that you can't make an omelette. Like, but in a way, like a little bit not as well.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but I think it's I think people are just so busy.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on. And then there's so many options out there to order Deliveroo or to order things to the house. So why would you?
Ready-made meals and everything. You can pop into the supermarket and they're there sitting in front of you. You don't have to get all the ingredients because they're there. You can pop them in the microwave.
This is coming from a chef.
But when did you learn how to cook the basics yourself? Like, I mean, were you really young when it happened? Or?
So I was 14. Okay. And I actually...
you were really young.
Yeah, I was quite young. I tell you, I got a job in a restaurant as a kitchen porter. And I was like, out of curiosity, I wanted to learn what the chefs were doing. Because I was like, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. And I was one of those little brass 14-year-olds, a little bit of sass about me at the time as well. And then,
I'd love to meet 14-year-old Chef Adrian. So sassy.
And I remember actually the only reason I didn't do home economics in school was because I was afraid of the lads picking on me.
Of course.
So if I had it, I think I decided to do metalwork instead. So I would have learned a little bit earlier if I had it done home ec, I think.
Fair enough.
I think it's a great subject.
Absolutely, it is. It is just that.
And to sew. I wanted.
Well, I did home ec and I'm still no better at sewing. The home ec teacher used to always say that I made up my own stitches, but I couldn't get my head around the fact that it still did the job. You know, that kind of way. And that's still my thinking. I'm like, I don't know. I take up the arms on all of my things, all of my dresses all the time, but I'm always like, it holds. And my mother's looking at it going, what have you done? And I'm like, it's there. It's fine. We're not here to talk about that. Before we get into some super simple dishes, like if you need to spend a few quid, right, if you're doing the shop, what should we always have in hand in our presses and in our fridge?
Yeah, so I always break down each kind of compartment of your kitchen, and I think it's really important to look through everything. So you use kind of like your fridge as a basis of like where things go in the fridge.
Okay.
And this is kind of basic stuff that you learn. So your drawer in the bottom, for instance, where your vegetables go, always have a stock of like onions, garlic, you know, key kind of vegetables like carrots, things like that. I always tend to go back to like pantry essentials then. So dry goods are really, really easy to pick up. They're really cheap. Like a tin of chopped tomatoes is ridiculously cheap. So always having chopped tomatoes there. Beans, we love refried beans in our house. So we always tend to have like loads of black beans or in the press. Rice and pasta. You know, you can't go really wrong.
All things as well that aren't going to be too perishable.
But also, and we really, really lack it in Ireland in our cooking, is seasoning. And I'm saying salts and spices. And so try and pick up a basis of those that you think that you like or you'd like to try in your food. So I always say Cajun seasoning, Chinese five spice, a good curry powder, garam masala, cumin, turmeric, and salt and
a few
pepper.
Chilies.
Yeah, chilies.
Yeah,
you know,
things
if you like spicy food, chili in there as well. Yeah.
Things that can just kind of sit there too. That like, and actually everything you've named out there, you could just boil some pasta, throw the tomatoes in on top of it, have some onion, garlic, and then there you go.
Yeah.
Like it is a meal in itself if you didn't have any meat or you didn't want any meat. Okay. The shock factor seems to be around the inability to make a simple omelette, right? Can you tell maybe some embarrassed people amongst us how is the best way to make an omelette? Because we've also had a debate, I'll tell you afterwards, after you explain, on if the way I'm making an omelette is actually okay, and if it's not, Kate says it's not. So go on.
So years ago, I did a show which is called Saturday Kitchen.
Yeah.
And on the show was a challenge where you had to challenge the other chef to do the quickest omelette.
Okay.
So omelette is a thing that you can literally make in 30 seconds. Okay, realistically, you can, if your pan is hot enough and you're quick enough, 30 seconds to a minute. I mean, look, if you're taking your time, take your time. so basically, realistically, the old school basic omelette is just two eggs, a little bit of butter, salt, and if you want to add cheese, you can add cheese, which I would highly recommend.
Okay.
So for a basic omelette, you crack your two eggs into a bowl.
Okay.
You whisk, and then you heat a really good non-stick pan. So non-stick pan is key to this thing here. And then you add in a little bit of butter to it. You add in your eggs. You roll them around the heat of the pan. Turn down the heat a little bit until it starts to cook and it starts to bubble. And then you add your cheese at this point, and then you add your seasoning. Don't add salt beforehand, because what happens is it seeps out and water seeps out of your eggs, and the you lose the protein out of your eggs. And then...
Sorry, that's the shock faces on us right now. We're like, what?
You ever have scrambled eggs and they're like water is coming out onto the plate? You ever have that? Yeah, that's, you've added the salt too soon. Yeah, so you have, There you go.
There we go. That's life-changing fresh. Go on.
So anyway, the traditional French omelette is where you fold it across itself. And it's that little bit undercooked in the center. So you want to kind of catch it at a point where... it's not fully cooked,
a tiny little bit runny.
Yeah. Okay, and then you fold it over itself, and it'll continue cooking as you place that onto the plate.
Okay,
and flip it over itself, so you have a lovely, delicious omelette. And I mean, that's it, basically.
Okay. So that's a traditional French omelette. What about if? Because what I do is put the pan on and put the egg in, add all my ingredients, and then I have the grill on, and then
You do what my mom does.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll take what your mom's route is. Who taught you? So I put it in there, and then I have what's kind of nearly like a pizza omelette.
Yeah, that's nice as well. It's almost like a fritter. Like, you know, where you
There we go. I'm making a potato fritter. I'm not making an omelette, but I'm getting all the ingredients in together. Okay, that's out of the way. The omelette business is done and dusted. It's not complicated. It can be done. You just need a bit of confidence in the kitchen as well.
Look, I'll stick up a video this week.
Fantastic.
On Instagram or TikTok on how to make a basic omelette.
Okay.
And I'll tag you.
Don't worry. Again, if you're listening to this right now and you're kind of going like, of course I know how to make an omelette. Like 61% of young adults don't know how to make it. So this is what we're doing. If you have any basic questions as well, while we've got Chef Adrian here and he is going to run through some things, get them into us on 087-187-9200 or 51552. Okay, that is out of the way now, Adrian, right? Can you give us some absolute basics on simple dishes to cook? Stuff that is virtually foolproof, like maybe... two meats and two vegetarians. Yeah. Okay for everyone here? Is that
right? Okay. I always tend to pick a pasta dish.
Yeah.
Because pasta is the easiest thing.
Like, and genuinely, tastiest.
It's and tastiest, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's literally 8 minutes and you're away. So I go with carbonara.
Okay.
So basically, carbonara is basically where you take... classically, carbonara is guanciale. So guanciale is pig's cheek bacon. Basically, where you render down the fat of the pig's cheek bacon. So you get loads and loads of fat in the pan. You add pepper, a little bit of garlic, and it's pecorino cheese. So pecorino cheese is what... now, this sounds way too complicated for somebody starting for the first ever time, ever.
You went in with pig's cheek. I was like, oh, God, I'm out.
So basically, an alternative is just smoked bacon.
Okay.
So chopped up smoked bacon, Ireland's, fry them. In nothing, in the pan.
Just in themselves.
Because they'll release the oil themselves on a medium heat. Add in a clove of garlic, very, very simply, just crushed clove of garlic.
Okay.
And then some pepper. And let that fry away until it goes crispy and it releases the oil. Now, if it doesn't have a lot of oil in the bacon, because sometimes bacon doesn't have a lot of oil, add some oil to it, like rapeseed oil.
Okay.
And then while that's happening, boil your pasta in salted water. And I say salted water, the water should taste like the sea.
Okay.
So it has to be quite salty so that your seasoning is adjusted and that's right.
Okay.
And then when your pasta is almost cooked, take the pasta with some tongs and put it into the pan with the bacon.
So no messing around with the whole draining
just straight
business.
In, okay?
And one then, touch almost.
Yeah, so take it straight away across, take some water with you so it stops the frying process, and then crack two eggs into a bowl and grate in some Parmesan cheese.
Okay,
very simple. Mix that together. Okay, take the pan off the heat and then mix in your egg mixture and cheese mixture into the pan with pasta and bacon and everything. And fold it and mix it around really quickly so it becomes lovely and creamy and mixes with the water.
So hang on, because this is a really dumb question to ask, but is that what makes it creamy?
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that there was like cream and stuff gone into this.
No, so it's a emulsification of the egg
and the cheese.
The starchy water and the cheese. Yeah,
that's okay, crazy. Fair enough. Yeah. We're all learning something here.
And that's it. And that's literally basically five ingredients for one dish. That's just carbonara. It's the most easiest dish. And then you can take that and say, right, cacio e pepe is next. And cacio e pepe is four ingredients. It's pepper, it's... butter, pasta, and water. And that's it. And cheese. Sorry, cheese. Five.
Yeah, cheese kind of the staple at the bottom of it, so it's grand.
I want to talk about beef burger, because I think you know, a smash burger is probably the easiest thing of all time to make. Take some beef mince, literally form it into a patty, and then season it like a steak. So you smash it firstly, and then you season it like a steak. So sea salt and cracked black pepper, and you get it really, really crispy on your pan. Then you flip it, and then I use a potato masher, or you can use whatever you can to smash the burger.
Oh, to like make
it go... to make it really, really, really thin. So just literally really thin on the pan. And then key to this is placing some cheese on top of it, and a little bit of water, and creating like a steam chamber. What happens is it creates loads of moisture, but also the cheese melts lovely on top of the burger. And that's just a basic smash burger. That's all a smash burger is, salt and pepper. That's all it is.
So again, we're not messing around. We're not messing around. Trying to put it under the grill.
Really simple. Veggie ones, I'm always going to go back to potato salad because we love it in our house.
So good.
Yeah, so I always tend to go to the potato salad mixed with a little bit of curry powder and mayonnaise. So baby potatoes, stick them in the microwave. This is so basic because I'm giving basic recipes now. Just FYI, if anyone's just tuned in. For somebody that's beginning to cook, stick the baby potatoes into the microwave in the pack that they're in, because you can microwave them. It literally takes 7 minutes to get them soft.
Okay.
Take them out of the pack, cut them in half, and allow them to cool slightly. Then add 4 tablespoons of mayonnaise, add a pinch of salt, and a teaspoon of curry powder.
This is right up my street.
That's literally potato salad, okay? That's the most basic thing. But you can have that as a side dish. Grill some chicken, grill whatever.
Grill some fish, grill whatever. Yeah.
And the last thing I want to talk about is how to cook vegetables properly, because this gets on my nerves. Everybody's cooking them wrong.
It's me and my soggy broccoli.
Yeah.
I was giving out to Kayle earlier on today. I was saying that I've branched out into tender stem broccoli.
Yeah.
But it's making my house stink. And I don't know if I'm doing it wrong because I'm trying to cook it in the oven. I'm trying to be inventive.
Yeah,
but
if you tend to roast broccoli, it releases an odor. Yeah.
And so it's game over. Should I fry it instead? Or?
Yeah, well, I would boil instead. See, what tends to happen is we forget that when we're boiling vegetables, so we don't put anything into the water.
Yeah.
So when we boil, it automatically, as soon as it hits the water, it loses its color straight away, which means you lose all the nutrients into the water. And when you drain off that water, all the nutrients are gone down the drain, and your broccoli is just gone to, like, you know, an inch of itself. So basically, the key to this is to have, again, like I said, like the pasta, really, really salted water. And what that does is that creates this kind of dehydration around the vegetable.
Okay.
So what happens is it holds in all the nutrients in the vegetable, and you'll notice that your broccoli will go really, really vibrantly bright green, and all your vegetables will go really, really... Try this at home, okay? Next time you're boiling really, really salty water, your vegetable will go really, really bright green, which means the vegetable holds all the nutrients inside. So when you strain that broccoli, you'll have like a luminous green broccoli, basically.
I swear to God, this is the potato salad are the first two things I'm doing when I go home this evening. Yeah. Okay, so that's how we're supposed to be cooking, so that we hold on to all the nutrients.
That means that your broccoli holds its nutrients. The salt is just creating that, the water is just creating dehydration so that the broccoli holds the nutrients.
Should we be doing that for all of our vegetables?
Yeah, all veg. I say mange too, asparagus, green beans, all of them. You'll notice the same effect on all of them. You won't have brown vegetables. You'll have lovely bright green vegetables.
Oh my God, and my house won't stink.
Yeah.
I swear to God, Adrian, 2 full days last week, I had to re-put on my wash because my clothes were so smelly.
Really?
Oh, it was rotten. It was absolutely horrible. And I was like, I'm trying to do a good thing here.
Sometimes they're left in those packs, you see, and they do create an odour. I remember in a restaurant one time, and anytime tenderstem broccoli was opened, everyone had to leave.
Oh, violent. So tasty. That was the worst part. I was like, I can't do enough of this. Okay, so we've got our smash burger, and we've got our carbonara, and then you've got your potato salad, and your how to cook your vegetables properly, which is like, I swear to God, I thought I was coming in here being like, yeah, hopefully, so hope somebody learns something from here, and this has thrown me over the edge now. Adrian, as always, like, are there simple mistakes that people can avoid when they're learning to make basic but tasty food? Like, is it all about like your spices and seasonings, or what are we doing?
No, I think equipment is actually really important.
Okay.
So, like, most of the time people cook with a blunt knife and a tiny chopping board. And I have to be honest, a tiny little pasta.
I feel personally attacked.
Yeah, it's literally impossible to make anything quickly or efficiently with that. Even the best chefs struggle with blunt knives. So a really good, solid, large wooden chopping board and a basic chef's knife that's sharp
Okay.
will literally solve so many issues. non-stick pan is really important, and a really good spatula for like maneuvering, and tongs. So it's about the equipment that you have will create a little bit of solution for a lot of things. Sometimes it can be equipment.
I will let you go on one second, but we're after getting a text in here that says, is it not better to steam your vegetables? Remember the steamers were all
the
rage
there.
Alan,
that's a good shout. Steaming's great too.
So steaming's okay.
Steaming's really good. Again, salted water underneath your steamed vegetables.
Fair
same
enough.
Thing. Same premise again. Idea, yeah.
And they'll be steaming and it'll be the good times. Adrian, thank you so much for coming into us again today. And if hopefully it's helped one more person, but you are going to cook a very simple omelet on your Instagram page. Tag me so people can see it. Just so we can see it in action. That was chef and author Adrian Martin. He will be back with us again because no doubt we'll have loads of questions. We'll be right back after these.